The Three Little Pigs. Hi everybody, my name is Natasha, and I've been commanded by His Royal Highness Prince Bertie the Frog to tell you a story nori. And so, in a moment, I'll be telling you the story nori of the Three Little Pigs. But first, here's a piece of gossip I've picked up about Bertie. As you know, Bertie used to be a prince, but now he's a frog, and he's a bit sad about that. Today he's been telling his friend, Tim the Tadpole, all about the lovely cakes that he used to eat when he was a prince. "Cake?" said Tim nervously. "What's that?" You see, in his whole life, Tim has never eaten anything but green slime, because his mother always tells him that it's full of vitamin C and is ever so good for a tiny little tadpole who wants to grow up to be a nice big healthy green frog one day. "Oh, cake is delicious," said Bertie. "It's all, well, gooey and chocolatey. When I was a prince, I used to eat it every day." "It sounds yummy," said Tim. "But maybe it could just have a little bit of green slime icing on it." Bertie shook his head sadly, because Tim's idea was really very stupid. But Bertie was too polite to say so in case he hurt his little friend's feelings. But if enough children keep listening to Bertie's stories, one day he'll turn back into a prince and he'll let Tim find out for himself how nice cake really is, and why it tastes so much better with chocolate on top than with green slime. So keep listening, and tell all your friends to tune in to storynori.com too. But enough of this pond life. Bertie wants me to get on with a story nori, which is about two very silly little pigs, and one rather clever one. So listen quietly, and I will tell you the story nori of the Three Little Pigs, from Andrew Lang's Green Fairy Book. There was once upon a time a pig who lived with her three little piglets in a large, comfortable, old-fashioned farmyard. The eldest of the little pigs was called Brownie, the second Whitey, and the youngest and best-looking Blackie. Now Brownie was a very dirty little pig, and I'm sorry to say, spent most of his time rolling and wallowing about in the mud. He was never so happy as on a wet day when the mud in the farmyard got soft and thick and slab. Then he would creep away from his mother's side and, finding the muddiest place in the yard, would roll about in it and thoroughly enjoy himself. His mother often ticked him off for this, and would shake her head sadly and say, "Ah, Brownie, some day you will be sorry that you did not obey your old mother." But no words of advice or warning could cure Brownie of his bad habits. Whitey was quite a clever little pig, but she was greedy. She was always thinking of her food and looking forward to her dinner. And when the farm girl was seen carrying the pails across the yard, she would rise up on her hind legs and dance and caper with excitement. As soon as the food was poured into the trough, she jostled Blackie and Brownie out of the way in her eagerness to get to the best and biggest bits for herself. Her mother often scolded her for her selfishness and told her that some day she would suffer for being so greedy and grabbing. Blackie was a good, nice little pig, neither dirty nor greedy. He had nice, dainty ways for a pig, and his skin was always as smooth and shining as black satin. He was much cleverer than Brownie and Whitey, and his mother's heart used to swell with pride when she heard the farmer's friends say to each other that some day the little black fellow would be a prize pig. Now the time came when the mother pig felt old and feeble and near her end. One day, she called the three little pigs round her and said, "My children, I feel that I'm growing old and weak, and that I shall not live long. Before I die, I should like to build a house for each of you, as this dear old sty in which we have lived so happily will be given to a new family of pigs, and you will have to move out. Now, Brownie, what sort of house would you like to have?"
"A house of mud," replied Brownie, looking longingly at a wet puddle in the corner of the yard.
"And you, Whitey?" said the mother pig in rather a sad voice, for she was disappointed that Brownie had made so foolish a choice.
"A house of cabbage," answered Whitey with a mouthful, and scarcely raising her snout out of the trough in which she was grubbing for some potato bits.
"Foolish, foolish child," said the mother pig, looking quite distressed. "And you, Blackie?" turning to her younger son. "What sort of house shall I order for you?"
"A house of brick, please, mother, as it will be warm in winter and cool in summer, and safe all the year round."
"That is a sensible little pig," replied his mother, looking fondly at him. "I will see that the three houses are built at once. And now one last piece of advice. You have heard me talk of our old enemy, the fox. When he hears that I am dead, he is sure to try and get hold of you to carry you off to his den. He is very sly, and will no doubt disguise himself and pretend to be a friend. But you must promise me not to let him enter your houses with any of his lying schemes." And the little pigs readily promised, for they had always had a great fear of the fox, of whom they had heard many terrible tales. A short time afterwards, the old pig died, and the little pigs went to live in their own houses. Brownie was quite delighted with his soft mud walls and with the clay floor, which soon looked like nothing but a big mud pie. But that was what Brownie enjoyed, and he was as happy as possible, rolling about all day and making himself in such a mess. One day, as he was lying half asleep in the mud, he heard a soft knock at his door and a gentle voice say,
"May I come in, Master Brownie? I want to see your beautiful new house."
"Who are you?" said Brownie, starting up in a great fright, for he thought the voice sounded gentle. He felt sure it was a fake voice, and he feared it was the fox.
"I am a great friend come to call on you," answered the voice.
"No, no," replied Brownie. "I don't believe you are a friend. You are the wicked fox, against whom our mother has warned us. I won't let you in."
"Oh, is that the way you answer me?" said the fox, speaking very roughly in his natural voice. "We shall soon see who is master here."
And with his paws, he set to work and scraped a large hole in the soft mud walls. A moment later, he had jumped through it, and catching Brownie by the neck, flung him on his shoulders and trotted off with him to his den. The next day, as Whitey was munching a few leaves of cabbage out of the corner of her house, the fox stole up to her door, determined to carry her off to join her brothers in his den. He began speaking to her in the same faint, gentle voice in which he had spoken to Brownie. But it frightened her very much when he said,
"I am a friend come to visit you and to have some of your good cabbage for my dinner."
"Please don't touch it," cried Whitey in great distress. "The cabbages are the walls of my house, and if you eat them, you will make a hole, and the wind and rain will come in and give me a cold. Do go away. I am sure you are not a friend, but our wicked enemy, the fox."
And poor Whitey began to whine and to whimper, and to wish that she had not been such a greedy little pig, and had chosen a more solid material than cabbages for her house. But it was too late now, and in another minute the fox had eaten his way through the cabbage walls, and had caught the trembling, shivering Whitey and carried her off to his den. The next day, the fox started off for Blackie's house, because he had made up his mind that he would get the three little pigs together in his den and then kill them and invite all his friends to a feast. But when he reached the brick house, he found that the door was bolted and barred. So in his sly manner, he began, "Do let me in, dear Blackie. I have brought you a present of some eggs that I picked up in a farmyard on my way here."
"No, no, Mr. Fox," replied Blackie. "I am not going to open my door to you. I know your cunning ways. You have carried off poor Brownie and Whitey, but you are not going to get me."
And at this, the fox was so angry that he dashed with all his force against the wall and tried to knock it down. But it was too strong and well built, and though the fox scraped and tore at the bricks with his paws, he only hurt himself. And at last he had to give up and limp away with his four paws all bleeding and sore. "Never mind," he cried angrily as he went off. "I'll catch you another day. See if I don't. And won't I grind your bones to powder when I've got you in my den?" he snarled fiercely and showed his teeth. Next day, Blackie had to go into the neighbouring town and market to buy a cauldron. As he was walking home with it slung over his shoulder, he heard a sound of steps stealthily creeping after him. For a moment, his heart stood still with fear, and then a happy thought came to him. He had just reached the top of a hill and could see his own little house nestling at the foot of it among the trees. In a moment, he had snatched the lid of the cauldron and had jumped in himself. Coiling himself round, he lay quite snug in the bottom of the cauldron, while with his foreleg he managed to put the lid on so that he was entirely hidden. With a little kick from the inside, he started to roll the cauldron away, and down the hill it rolled full tilt, and when the fox came up, all that he saw was a large black cauldron spinning over the ground at a great pace. Very much disappointed, he was just going to turn away when he saw the cauldron stop close to the little brick house, and in a moment later Blackie jumped out of it and escaped with the cauldron into the house, and he barred and bolted the door and put the shutter up over the window.
"Oh," exclaimed the fox to himself, "you think you will escape me that way, do you? Well, we shall soon see about that, my friend."
And very quietly and stealthily, he prowled round the house, looking for some way to climb onto the roof. In the meantime, Blackie had filled the cauldron with water, and having put it on the fire, sat down quietly, waiting for it to boil. Just as the lid was beginning to rattle, and the water inside was bubbling and boiling, he heard a sound like a soft, muffled step. Patter, patter, overhead. And the next moment, the fox's head and four paws were seen coming down the chimney. But Blackie, very wisely, had not put the lid on the cauldron, and with a yelp of pain, the fox fell into the boiling water, and before he could escape, Blackie had popped the lid on, and the fox was boiled like new potatoes. As soon as he was sure that their wicked enemy was really dead and could do them no further harm, Blackie started off to rescue Brownie and Whitey. As he approached the den, he heard piteous grunts and squeals from his poor little brother and sister, who lived in constant terror of the fox killing and eating them. But when they saw Blackie appear at the entrance to the den, their joy knew no bounds. He quickly found a sharp stone and cut the ropes by which they were tied to a stake in the ground. And then all three started off together for Blackie's house, where they lived happily ever after. And Brownie quite gave up rolling around in the mud, and Whitey ceased to be greedy, for they never forgot how nearly these faults had brought them to an untimely end. And that was the tale of the three little pigs. I've heard another version in which a big bad wolf comes along and he huffs and he puffs until he blows the little pig's house down. But Bertie says that the story Nori I've just told you is the true one. Bertie would like to meet all his new friends at his gorgeous green and purple website. You can see what he looks like there. So drop by at storynori.com. I'll be telling you another Story Nori soon. But for the moment, from me, Natasha, bye-bye.